So I've talked about
the various trends that are pushing software testing, and I've talked about the potential that software testing has. Now, this presentation is called Achievable Futures. I'm looking, I hope, into the short term. If I seem to be overextending myself, then hands up, ask me a question that trips me flat on my face, please. Particularly rude, because I know you're good. But, and of course anybody else who's been in one of my classes, because I keep seeing faces around that I recognise. I think that we can achieve great things. And I think that we can achieve great things with our current technology, from our current position. So, looking at the audience, I expect that there are people in this audience who enjoy toys and technology, and test tools certainly fall into the ideas of toys and technology, and there's some great new toys coming along. So I thought I'd spend a few moments looking at new toys. New toy. Test harnesses. Dull toy. No, new toy. Great new toy. Lots of interesting things coming in test harnesses. Anybody who was in Sam Guggenheim's couple of presentations at Eurostar will have seen that unit test harnesses are being built into Visual Studio, and code coverage metrics will be part of the IDE. There are products coming out from companies like Parasoft and Agitar that start to integrate fault finding and unit testing with code standards, and to wrap all of that up together so that when a bug is found, it's translated into a standard that could have found it. That standard is then run over all of the backlog of code. There's some fascinating things coming out that may improve the code that ultimately starts to arrive at testers. Nice new tools. Second nice new tool. Operating systems with built-in automation. Yay! Excellent. Way back in the mists of time, a graphical user interface was just that. It was graphics on a screen. And then browsers came along and they said, well, yeah, we're graphics on a screen, but also we've got all these objects that lie underneath. And they're all exposed. You can see things about these objects that lie underneath. You can see drop-down lists and buttons and forms in a way that perhaps you couldn't see on the earlier graphical user interfaces. Now we've got capture replay tools that start to do the same with objects on screen and do it very effectively. We're starting to see operating systems coming along with automation built in. Furthermore, for those testers in the room who are also coders, and I hope that everybody in the room codes at some time or another, apart from my girlfriend at the back who doesn't code at all. I hope you never start coding, dear. We're getting some really exciting things coming along. If you're a tester and you don't know a scripting language, grab hold of Perl or Python or PHP. Probably not Perl. Python or PHP. Go and have a look at the extraordinary power you can exert on your application by using some scripting languages. We're also seeing some design assistance tools coming along. Finally. In the ISEB exam, in the ISEB qualification, we seem to be continually coming up with techniques that increase the number of tests you can do. This perhaps is a good thing, but boundary value analysis, most people in the room, ideas about boundary value analysis, yeah, a few, equivalence class partitioning, anybody taking the ISEB exam still interested in it, yes, possibly a few. You start combining lots of different ways of doing tests, and you come up with masses of different tests. And this is it's a derived approach. You derive your tests from your documentation. There are now tools out there that will start to derive their testing from your documentation. Depending on how you've created your documentation, I'll come to that in a moment, it can start to put all sorts of tests together. Then it can refine them, and then it can give them to you for you to run. And God, I hope you're not running those ones manually. Anybody using an emulator in their testing? Yeah, got a few. Emulators, for me, are one of the next big things about software testing. Tell a quick story about using an emulator. I have a powerful PC in the lab. On that powerful PC, I'm running something called Virtual PC. And on Virtual PC, I've got lots of different PCs and lots of different operating systems for doing some general sort of compatibility testing. I'm not going terribly deep because I don't particularly trust this emulator, this Virtual PC. However, I start to see an intermittent problem. An intermittent problem that I cannot reproduce reliably, but it keeps on turning up. My coders don't believe me. So what do? I set up half a dozen virtual PCs. All exactly the same. Precisely the same. These things exist only as an image on a disk. They are exactly the same image on a disk. And then I take each of those forward to a point where I think the bug is about to happen. And I save them. Each one. And then I take each one forward another step to see if that bug happens. And on two or three of them, it does. Good news! I then give those images to my coders and say, look, this PC is about to have this bug. You can do it as many times as you like. It is about to have this bug. And it works. Intermittent bug made reproducible by using an emulator. I think we're going to see a lot more of emulators in the future. We're starting to see software that runs under emulation. Every Java virtual machine is almost an emulated environment. A lot of legacy software runs in emulation. I think emulators are big news for testers. Next tool, capture replay. Everybody's heard of capture replay. Most people think it probably should be called replay capture, because it's good at replaying things that you haven't captured, and then it's good at capturing the output of those. I like the idea, when I'm exploring, of a capture monitor. It's just monitoring what I do. It's monitoring my keystrokes, it's monitoring my network traffic. It's monitoring what happens on screen, it's monitoring what the objects think they're doing. Great and useful tool. Again, you can rewind, you can look at what you were doing, you can go through a test, you can say, what was I doing at that point when that problem turned up? I spoke to a tester at a conference once, lots of experience, a very aware tester of what she was doing, and she said, I'm not sure I've ever actually found a really high severity bug by any other means than coincidence. I was doing a test and I saw this thing somewhere else. These capture monitors are very good for doing that, very good for going back over what you've done, very good for seeing what you thought you were doing. Useful tools. We've also got some tools that modify your environment, similar in some ways to emulation tools. These tools will allow you to run an application as if it doesn't have much memory left, as if it doesn't have much disk left, as if a particular linked library is no longer available. The key one of these tools is probably Holodeck, and if you've heard James Whittaker speak, you won't have forgotten that you've heard James Whittaker speak, because he's a live wire of a testing presenter. Holodeck is his baby. He uses Holodeck to attack software, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the future. So we've got some great toys in our future, and in fact all of these toys are here now. We can use these things now. Am I talking to anybody in the audience who already uses some of these, who already uses emulation, uses monitoring what you capture? Does anybody here use Holodeck? Yes! Excellent. It's secret, of course. So, we've got an awful lot of new toys coming up. We've got some new methodologies coming up as well. This is not a test methodology. Test first design. Not a testing methodology. Design methodology. Makes better code, though. Testers like it. Evolutionary delivery. Also, not really a testing methodology, but the idea of focusing on short, high-value phases is, I think, an extremely useful idea for IT, and certainly projects that I've worked on that have used an evolutionary approach have typically produced better software, probably. Certainly I didn't find as many bugs, but we could always say that was perhaps because I wasn't so used to an evolutionary delivery model. Anyway, I think we've got some great new methodologies coming through. But key to the ways that tools are going to change our world are a set of enabling technologies that already exist just about everywhere. All over our desktops, all over our test labs, are enabling technologies, and I think we need to make good use of these. Before I go any further, I've just realised that this picture is from a place in London called the Kirkcaldy Testing Works, which is a load testing laboratory, and they test loads of up to 5 tonnes. With an enormous lever. And it opened and lasted for about 100 years. And it's now a museum. But it's got one of my favourite things in it. It's a very eccentric museum. It says, facts, not opinions. I think it's great to have as the motto for a testing lab. Excellent. I like that. And I think that we can get to facts and not opinions by using some of these enabling technologies. We've heard about the way that the Industrial Revolution changed because of the way the production lines work. People started to introduce ways of working where you worked on the same thing time and time again. I'm not sure we've got a direct equivalent for that, but I think that we've got a lot of workflow tools that work extremely well in letting us work as a production line. We've all used workflow tools. Bug trackers are workflow tools. You can use them to track bugs, track enhancements, assign work. You start to do that and your workflow tool becomes the thing you turn to. Rather than your email, rather than the project schedule, you're looking at your workflow tool. That allows you an agile approach to projects. I think we've already got that in technology and it works really well on the projects I've worked on. We've got lots of web services. Again, with bug trackers, you can set a bug tracker up, a reasonably good one, in about 5 minutes, as long as you've got an internet connection, and go to one of the many internet-based bug trackers out there. Very handy, very useful, very quick. But more than that, you can start to deploy web services internally. And I think one of the key things that we'll employ web services internally on are, firstly, real-time metrics. Sending information around a project about what's done, what's not done, what went well, what went badly. Gathering those statistics, making the information available all the time, makes it very hard to be surprised by, allows you to observe trends, brings things out into the open. I also think that we're really going to see a big change and move to collaborative documentation. Word is one of the single worst things in my mind to happen to the IT industry. Word is impossible to work with collaboratively. Versions, problems over corruption, two people trying to make different changes to the same document at the same time is simply impossible. You have all your requirements captured in one useful Word document, you no longer have current requirements because people can't get into the Word document to actually change what they're doing. And then we're going to move to collaborative documents. I've seen a site which is using a tool called DAWS from Telelogic. They put all their requirements into DAWS. They take all their code from those requirements in a semi-automated fashion. All their tests come from them. They generate a large amount of documentation as it is needed. Version control from different sources is extremely good. No longer is a plan as obsolete as the time it was created. No longer is a design obsolete if it's more than a few months old. Your design is generated right now to current specifications. And I think we're going to have to learn to work with that. So I've talked about the trends that push us. We've talked about complexity and simplicity. Talked about power. And I've probably pressed my button too many times. Yes, I have. So we've also talked about how I think that testing is very similar in some ways to journalism. That we need to be the free press for our products, for our projects, and for our organisations. And we've also spent a little while looking at nice tools that are turning up at some point. And I've got 10 minutes left, so I'm going to whiz through three different ways that I think we can move to the future in an achievable, sustainable, and useful way. I think we can do that now.